What's up? I'm Draymond Green, and when I'm not hosting the Draymond Green Show, I'm usually working out in the gym and on the court. Anybody can have one good day in the gym, but the key is recovery. That's why athletes are taking Omega XL Sport. Omega XL Sport is a premium recovery supplement powered by green-lipped muscle oil extract with three key clean ingredients and backed by over four decades of research. It's NSF certified for sport, which is such an amazing distinction. It's free of 290 banned substances trusted by athletes and recognized by major sports organizations. My body has taken a beating over the years, and recovery becomes more important the longer you stay active. That's why Omega XL Sport caught my attention. Omega XL Sport helps support your body's natural recovery process, helping reduce post-workout muscle soreness, inflammation, and supports mobility so you can stay consistent when it matters most. Less time feeling beat up, more time doing what you love. Omega XL Sport. Extra strength recovery now available at GNC and GNC.com.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Personal finance can feel like a pop quiz you didn't study for. This podcast is your study guide. On NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast, you'll hear from trusted journalists who explain the why behind major financial decisions. You'll get research-backed insights and clear pros and cons, whether you're planning a big purchase or just want to grow your wealth. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
Nobody gets into maintenance for the paperwork, but somewhere along the way, the clipboards piled up and the spreadsheets multiplied. Good technicians spend hours per day on admin instead of turning a wrench. MaintainX was built to give that time back. Preventative maintenance runs on a real schedule, automated, assigned, and nothing slipping through. With MaintainX, work orders go out in seconds, and everyone from the floor to the front office knows what's due and when. So your team gets back to the machines, not the paperwork. Over 14,000 companies are already running on MaintainX because the people who keep the world running deserve tools that actually work. Try MaintainX free at MaintainX.com. That's MaintainX.com, an Autodesk company.
2 minutes after 1 a.m. here on The Fan in New York City, Tommy Lugauer. Lugie, it is after hours here on The Fan. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. As the Knicks take a 2-0 series lead over the Sixers, another double-double for Kat, another outstanding performance from Mikal Bridges. The series shifts to Philadelphia on Friday night. And oh, by the way, this Friday night, if you don't have plans for the game, and even if you do have plans, cancel them. Because I will be here in New York City at Buddy's on 3rd Avenue, watching the game, hanging out. I'll be with Charles Smith for a little watch party here, WFAN, and Corona. So it's going to be a great time. You should definitely come through. You could meet me if you haven't, or even if you have met me, you can come through. And I'll be there a little before the game starts, and I'll be hanging out definitely through the game and maybe even for a little bit of after hours on Friday. So that's in New York City, Buddies on 3rd Avenue, myself and Charles Smith. So like I said, if you have plans, cancel them, change them. If you don't have plans and you wanted to go out in the greatest city in the world on a Friday night to watch a Knicks team that is rolling right now, go down to Philadelphia and look to take a commanding 3-0 series lead on the hated Sixers. You definitely want to roll through to Buddies on 3rd Avenue in New York City. Now, it's not all good. And as much as we're excited, as much as we're celebrating this victory, there is a cloud that is hanging over the Knicks right now. And that, of course, is the injury, we assume, just because he left the game and there was no update after the game. What else could we think it is at this point? To OG Anunoby. And we're stuck speculating and wondering what is going on and hoping for the best. OG Anunoby is vital to this team. The Knicks can ill afford to lose him for any long period of time. We know how great he is. We know he has been the MVP of this series so far. He's been the MVP of the playoffs for the Knicks so far. Ever since Anunoby was traded to this team, this Knicks team has gone to another level, especially defensively. They are so much better when he is on the court. Just look at the record as opposed to when he's not healthy. And obviously with the long list of injuries that he's had, and we know the wheels fell off a couple of years ago when he got injured in that Pacers series, and then a bunch of other guys got injured, but it was Anunoby who got hurt that started that series going in the wrong direction. And he's playing absolutely outstanding basketball right now. The Knicks could ill afford to lose OG Anunoby for any long period of time. He is paramount to this team getting to the finals and winning a championship. This series could probably get away with him not being out there, especially when you consider you have a 2-0 lead. The Sixers don't have any depth. Who knows what's going on with Embiid as far as his health. This looks like a tired, beaten Sixer team. And as important as Anunoby is, you could probably get through this series no problem, no sweat without him. But long-term, going forward, the ultimate goal, which is getting to the finals, winning a championship, OG is paramount to that. And the Knicks can ill afford to lose him for any long period of time. He truly has been the MVP of the playoffs so far. And ever since he arrived in New York City, the Knicks have gone to a different level as far as a basketball team. And he equals wins. That's how important OG is. So even though we don't have an update on him at this point, as I'm saying this to you on the radio, hopefully we get one by the time you see this video, and hopefully it's a good one. Because OG is extremely, extremely important to this team, especially the long-term success here in this playoff run that we all hope results in a championship. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. Mikal Bridges, who has gotten a ton of heat, and it's one of those situations with Mikal. It's a lot of things. Like a parallel I could use, although he hasn't had the success that this player has had, but I feel like Bridges in many ways gets treated like Lindor gets treated. Now, I'm not talking about this year. When Lindor first came here, and everybody talked about the money, and they didn't like the fact that he smiles and all that stuff. And look, he didn't do himself any favors with the thumbs down, which was clearly a mistake that he learned from. But everybody always wanted to point to the contract, the contract, the contract, the contract. And then you look at Bridges, and everybody wants to point to all the picks they gave up, all the picks they gave up, all the picks they gave up. And sometimes a person is unfairly criticized based on those things. And Lindor was able to turn it around. Obviously, he had the incredible 2024 where if he didn't get hurt, and I know there's an Ohtani bias, everybody in the media loves him, so it's very hard to dethrone him as far as the NL MVP. But Lindor, if he had stayed healthy, when you consider the turnaround, when you consider he was the leadoff hitter that sparked that run that they had that year, if Lindor doesn't hurt his back late in the year, he could have won the MVP. And just think about how he was talked about a couple years prior to that. And everybody always wanted to point to the contract. Same thing with Bridges. All these picks, all these picks, all these picks. There's not a person right now sitting there thinking about those picks. Because he is playing at such a level right now on both ends of the floor where the picks are not even a conversation. Because this is the Mikal Bridges that Leon Rose expected to receive in that trade with Brooklyn. He is the player that Leon Rose thought he was when he was on the Suns early on, also in his career in Brooklyn, when many thought he was better than, I dare say, Jalen Brunson. I heard some of those takes. We know he's a great two-way player, and I was all for the trade. I talked about that trade for months and months and months on this radio station. I talked about it with Evan all the time, and he was defiant. It's never happening. It's never happening. And then we all know on that fateful night, Mets at Citi Field, Subway Series against the Yankees. I'll never forget that. That night was crazy. Crazy. And as I'm leaving the park, as I'm leaving Citi Field, mind you, Subway Series game. Subway Series game. All you heard were chants of "Let's go, Knicks." Because it really is the team that unites us all. Even in the game like that, where you have Yankee and Met fans. Thankfully, it was "Let's go, Knicks." So it wasn't, you know, "Red Sox suck," which sometimes you hear at Subway Series games. Which I suppose unites us as well. But it was "Let's go, Knicks." And I remember it happening. We were in the SNY suite. There were literally people coming up to the suite to talk to us about the trade. It was almost like we were the Pope at the Vatican. And I know there's only one sports Pope, a sports talk Pope. So I'm not insinuating that I am the second coming of that. But I just, it felt like that for a split second or two as that deal went down. It was just one of those nights in New York sports that you remember. A very memorable one. But then Mikal Bridges had to follow up and he had to, you know, earn his stripes and also prove, because there are a lot of people, especially in New York, like I said, in this market, in this town, whether it's the media, whether it's the fans, what you make and or what you were acquired for, that is going to be part of how they judge you.
What's up? I'm Draymond Green, and when I'm not hosting the Draymond Green Show, I'm usually working out in the gym and on the court. Anybody can have one good day in the gym, but the key is recovery. That's why athletes are taking Omega XL Sport. Omega XL Sport is a premium recovery supplement powered by green-lipped muscle oil extract with three key clean ingredients and backed by over four decades of research. It's NSF certified for sport, which is such an amazing distinction. It's free of 290 banned substances trusted by athletes and recognized by major sports organizations. My body has taken a beating over the years, and recovery becomes more important the longer you stay active. That's why Omega XL Sport caught my attention. Omega XL Sport helps support your body's natural recovery process, helping reduce post-workout muscle soreness, inflammation, and supports mobility so you can stay consistent when it matters most. Less time feeling beat up, more time doing what you love. Omega XL Sport. Extra strength recovery now available at GNC and GNC.com.
Nerds.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Personal finance can feel like a pop quiz you didn't study for. This podcast is your study guide. On NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast, you'll hear from trusted journalists who explain the why behind major financial decisions. You'll get research-backed insights and clear pros and cons, whether you're planning a big purchase or just want to grow your wealth. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
Nobody gets into maintenance for the paperwork, but somewhere along the way, the clipboards piled up and the spreadsheets multiplied. Good technicians spend hours per day on admin instead of turning a wrench. MaintainX was built to give that time back. Preventative maintenance runs on a real schedule, automated, assigned, and nothing slipping through. With MaintainX, work orders go out in seconds, and everyone from the floor to the front office knows what's due and when. So your team gets back to the machines, not the paperwork. Over 14,000 companies are already running on MaintainX because the people who keep the world running deserve tools that actually work. Try MaintainX free at MaintainX.com. That's MaintainX.com, an Autodesk company.
Imagine you finally have a free day out on the town. You're about to enjoy a nice lunch when you get the alert that a window's been broken at home and you're miles away. These are the wake-up calls that remind us, in 1 second, everything can change. ADT security systems are built for those moments. They help keep your home safer with 24/7 monitoring. No one wants to feel unsafe at home or vulnerable when you're away. And with ADT, you won't. Their systems are professionally installed by trained technicians, so you can trust them to watch out for your home from day one. ADT has the most company-operated monitoring centers in the industry, and the ADT Plus app lets you keep tabs on your home from anywhere you have service. You'll get the alerts that matter about your home safety. Don't wait to prepare your home for an emergency. When every second counts, count on ADT. Visit ADT.com. That's ADT.com. Or call 1-800-ADT-ASAP. That's 1-800-ADT-ASAP.
You know, it's not easy replacing Derek Jeter, certainly not, or Mariano Rivera. Now, those are obviously on the big-time scales. It's not a great position to be in, the guy that's going to play first base after Pete Alonso. It's not easy to follow the 90s Knicks. It's not easy to follow Eli Manning. I'd love to come up for one for the Jets, but it doesn't exist. So when it does, we'll come up with one, though. It's not easy playing for the Jets, I suppose. Although Russell Wilson might. Apparently, he's been offered a contract. He's deciding between TV and playing for the Jets. I mean this not even joking. Couldn't he just do both? Let's be real. What is Russell Wilson can't do both? I mean, the Jets are actually, let me get this straight. I understand that apparently, and I didn't realize you could do this, Geno Smith has say in who his backup quarterback is. Since when did that become a thing? But apparently that's what's going on here. You're not bringing, we all know what Russell Wilson is at this career. And we all know he wants to be in New York City for the TV career so that he can go, also go to Broadway and go to Knick games and go to SummerSlam and go to all these great events and enjoy the fruits of being not only famous, but being famous in the greatest city in the world. There's obviously a lot of perks that come with that. And I'm sure traveling might impact it, but just do both. Do TV and you'll be the backup quarterback for the Jets. Because let's be real. If Geno gets either hurt or stinks, wouldn't you rather go to Klubnik anyway? You just drafted him. What the heck would you go to Russell Wilson for? And I know the mission and we know the goal in theory is to get the number one overall pick, although that's probably going to mean Aaron Glenn is out of here and potentially Muji as well. But are you playing Russell Wilson at all? If you bring him in as a backup, he's only there because Geno Smith wants him there and Russ obviously wants to hang out in New York. So just let him do both. Give him like a dual contract. I feel like that's happened before. I could be wrong on that. But again, the Jets would have to go to me, they'd have to go to Kate Klubnik. Like, you have to see, I think he stinks, but you want to find out if he stinks. So why not just see what he has? That way you'll know for sure that when the team is in all, I don't think I'm going out on a limb here when I say they're going to be terrible. So when they're terrible and they have a good pick, they can make the decision to go after a quarterback. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. But yeah, Mikal obviously came here and the expectations were very high because he was viewed as the missing piece. You know, I, along with others, called him the final Infinity Stone. If you are a fan of Marvel, if you're a fan of the Avengers, so you know the reference. That's what I always considered Bridges to be. And for a while there, he just didn't fit that bill. Now he's had his moments. He's had his playoff moments. I think back to last year against the Pistons, against the Celtics. He had game clinching, at times series clinching plays that he made that certainly won those games or won a series because it was a series clinching victory that he made that play. But the consistency hasn't been there. And yes, he plays every single game and that streak that clearly means a lot to him. And that says a lot about him as far as being an Iron Man. And obviously that gives him a ton of value because say what you want about him, but he's always available. As much as we love Ananobi, he's not always available. And hopefully he is going forward here as he exited the game with 2.5 minutes left. If you've missed it online, there is a clip where someone was able to pinpoint exactly what happened. Ananobi goes to cut and then he grabs his hamstring, or appears to be his hamstring, back of his thigh area. And then he kind of recovers. The ball gets into his hands. He goes to dunk. He's unable to finish off the dunk, which was, when it happened, was bizarre. I almost thought it went in and my eyes were kind of playing tricks on me. I'm like, wait a second. He went up for a dunk. This is OG Anunoby who could, it seems like he has like 12 dunks a game. This is an easy bucket for him. And yet the ball went into either like the third row or someone, I think Cat might have been able to get it, whatever the case is. But Ananobi then immediately put his hands up because he wants to get out of the game. Didn't see him after that on the court, didn't see him on the bench. And then after the game, even though there's like 30 minutes separating the end of the game and when Mike Brown meets the media, no update was provided for anybody. And Mike Brown said he didn't speak to the medical staff, which is tough to believe or tough to buy because that should be the first thing that you do after the game is find out what's going on with OG Anunoby because that's what we want to know. And that's why it was the first question that was asked by Ian Begley, I believe. And we were not provided with an answer. So now we sit here in limbo, in the dark, waiting for an answer on Anunoby. Because I, along with everybody else, knows how important he is to this team. And right now, as we sit here up two on the Sixers, I just think even without him, they're going to be just fine because it's more about just the Sixers. I mean, they have no depth. They have their own injury concerns with Embiid. They're already down 2-0. The Knicks are awesome at home. So in order for the Sixers to even make this a series where the Knicks are even sweating, they're going to have to win something here at Madison Square Garden. And I don't see that happening. The Sixers already look like a tired team. They had no legs in the fourth quarter. Now, some of that had to do with the Knicks defense, probably more than some, but tired legs for sure. They weren't hitting any shots. And they even when they got open looks, like Maxey got some looks there that he normally would bury and certainly was burying in the first half, and he didn't in the second half. And I think that had a lot to do with the fact that they're tired and they expended a lot of energy coming back in that series against the Boston Celtics. And now they're still feeling a little bit of the attrition that comes with that and also being shorthanded because they don't have depth. Look, we've seen it with the Knicks over the years. Depth will come back, lack of depth will come back to haunt you and will come back to be your undoing more often than not in the playoffs. Because the teams that are great, the teams that make these runs to the finals, these teams that win championships, yes, they have star power. Yes, they are well coached, but they are also deep. And that's what the Knicks are this year. The Sixers are not. And they could ill afford to have a 7-game series and then face a team like the Knicks the way they're playing and also have the injuries that they have with Embiid. It's just too much. So even with Anunoby potentially on the shelf here, I don't think it's going to be enough to hurt the Knicks in this series. I still think this is probably a 5-game, not a gentleman's, because we don't like the Sixers, so there's no gentlemanly thing about it. But I still think it's probably a 5-game series. But going forward, because I think it's going to be the Pistons in the next round, you're going to need Anunoby for Detroit. That's just the bottom line. So hopefully whatever this is, it's short term, it's not a big deal, and he's back on a basketball court sooner rather than later. And we get a very positive update on him later on today. Because I would imagine we'll get one early morning, mid-afternoon. Because it's a potential for him to maybe he's getting imaging, maybe he's getting an MRI, whatever the case may be, and they're trying to get to the bottom of what it is. Because if it was nothing, if it was cramps, if it was something, they would have... Because here's the other thing, too. Okay, Mike Brown didn't say anything after the game. You know, he didn't have an update. But then you look towards the Knicks. Did they put anything out? Did they say anything? Did they have any sort of anything? Like, if it was a no biggie, they would just say, this is a no biggie. Like, they're not... No, the Knicks didn't put anything out. I'll check their PR. I don't think they did. So it's one of those situations where nobody has said anything. And it wasn't even talked about on the broadcast. Yeah, nothing. So no one has provided any type of update. Hey, he left with this. It's a lower body. Or, hey, it's no biggie. It's cramps. Nothing. So we're left here not only speculating, but worrying slash hoping that for the best. Because of how important Anunoby is to this team. He has been the MVP of the playoffs so far. And ever since he came over from Toronto, he completely flipped the script of what this team was. They were horrible as far as defense. Horrible. Horrible. They couldn't defend anybody before he got here. And they would get blown out by all the good teams, and it was ugly. But ever since his arrival, it's been a different story, and he is just such a force, not only defensively, but also offensively. Like, in some ways, quietly. Like, because he doesn't have a, you know, he's not a demonstrative type of guy, but he quietly goes out there and puts up 25, 27 points, and is just a huge part of this team, and is sorely missed when he's not out there. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. It is after hours. It is a Lugie here, Tommy Lugauer here in the late night. We'll get back to your calls. We have another 40 minutes or so to go before a Gordon Damer comes your way at 2 a.m. So you still got time to join the conversation at 888-808-1019. The Knicks obviously are a huge topic, but you can jump in on the Yankees who, look, they had a rough night, but they haven't had many rough nights this year. Eovaldi has dominated them now in back-to-back starts, so he has their number, really has always seemingly had their number. But overall, not much to say negatively in terms of the Yankees. They are the class right now of the American League. I know the Rays are off to a really good start as well, but outside of them, there is just nobody in the American League that has done much of anything. I mean, the majority of the American League is under 500, and it just looks like one of those years where the league is going to be quite weak, and there's not going to be a ton of resistance when it comes to anybody putting up much of a fight against the Yankees, which is a great thing if you're a Yankee fan. And as far as the Mets, they have continued their strong start to the month. They are 4-1 in May. They've won 3 in a row. They put up 10 runs tonight. Soto homer to start the game. Benj continues to remain hot and also have great defensive plays. So the Mets are playing really, really good baseball right now as they look to continue that momentum as well. Both locals will have day games because remember the game the other night in Colorado was essentially snowed out. So it was moved to today. So two day games for both of them, and I'll have you with after hours, a full 5 hours, an open night, as we call it here in the business, 7 to midnight tomorrow. But I still got you for another 35, 40 minutes tonight. And if you want to join the conversation again, the phone number, 888-808-1019, Tommy Lugauer, Lugie in the Late Night, after hours here on The Fan.
What's up? I'm Draymond Green, and when I'm not hosting the Draymond Green Show, I'm usually working out in the gym and on the court. Anybody can have one good day in the gym, but the key is recovery. That's why athletes are taking Omega XL Sport. Omega XL Sport is a premium recovery supplement powered by green-lipped muscle oil extract with three key clean ingredients and backed by over four decades of research. It's NSF certified for sport, which is such an amazing distinction. It's free of 290 banned substances trusted by athletes and recognized by major sports organizations. My body has taken a beating over the years, and recovery becomes more important the longer you stay active. That's why Omega XL Sport caught my attention. Omega XL Sport helps support your body's natural recovery process, helping reduce post-workout muscle soreness, inflammation, and supports mobility so you can stay consistent when it matters most. Less time feeling beat up, more time doing what you love. Omega XL Sport. Extra strength recovery now available at GNC and GNC.com.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Personal finance can feel like a pop quiz you didn't study for. This podcast is your study guide. On NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast, you'll hear from trusted journalists who explain the why behind major financial decisions. You'll get research-backed insights and clear pros and cons, whether you're planning a big purchase or just want to grow your wealth. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
When equipment breaks down and operations come to a halt, every single second counts. So why is your maintenance team spending 60% of their time doing anything but turning wrenches? Maintain X is the AI-powered maintenance and asset management system that helps your team get back to actually fixing breakdowns. No more searching for manuals. No more hunting down parts. No more drowning in paperwork. With Maintain X, your team can access manuals from anywhere, create new procedures in minutes, and turn voice notes into clear and complete work order feedback. What used to take hours now only takes minutes. Keep your operations moving and your wrenches turning. Join over 13,000 maintenance teams that are already fixing more and filing less. Try Maintain X for free today. Go to maintainx.com/AI. That's maintain in the letter x.com/AI.
Imagine you're watching the game at a buddy's house when you get a call that someone tried to break into yours. In a second, everything can change. That's why there's ADT. No one wants to feel unsafe in their own home. ADT security systems help keep your home safe with 24/7 monitoring. The ADT Plus app keeps you in control the whole time. ADT's network is built for those game time moments. They have the most company-operated monitoring centers in the industry. Don't leave your home wide open during an emergency. When every second counts, count on ADT. Visit ADT.com or call 1-800-ADT-ASAP.
Here's something you may not know. Only 14% of cancers in the U.S. are caught through routine screenings. Prenuvo's whole-body MRI may help close that gap. Screening for over 500 conditions, including most solid tumors, all in under an hour. Prenuvo's body panels also test over 80 biomarkers for a deeper understanding of your health. No radiation, no contrast. Book your scan at Prenuvo.com. That's Prenuvo.com.
126. You're the Fan of New York City, Tommy Lugauer. Lugie. It is after hours here on the Fan. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. A couple things. With the local baseball teams, we have not seen Ben Rice in a few games. Had the hand contusion. You know, you miss a game. You miss a couple games. You miss, what is it, three in a row now? I would think there's some level of concern of what's going on here. But, you know, hopefully he's back in the lineup soon. Because and the Yankees haven't missed him much. But obviously that's not a player you want to be without for a long period of time. And he's off to just a terrific start. I mean, he's been the MVP of the American League, batting .343. And it seems like every day, putting the ball over the fence, another home run as him and Judge are just on this torrid pace as teammates. And it makes you think that could this be a summer where
Yankee teammates compete for that MVP. And they kind of go blow for blow. They kind of go homer for homer. They kind of iron sharpens iron. And they really match each other and try to one-up each other throughout the rest of the season. And hopefully everything's all right with Ben Rice, because like I said, he's off to just an insane start. I had him for 40 home runs. He's probably going to be north of that. And 40, I felt really good about it, but now I feel great about it, as long as he gets back in the lineup soon. It didn't seem like a big deal, like when he went out, and they said hand contusion, so I wasn't overly concerned about anything there. But when you miss a couple games, not just like one, it makes you start to think, all right, you know, is everything all right? Is he going to get back on the field here? Even if he can't play first base, maybe he can DH, because certainly you want his bat in the lineup. Although outside of tonight, you haven't really missed his bat in the lineup, but that's because Eovaldi, every time he sees the Yankees, he becomes a Pedro Martinez in his prime. Now look, Eovaldi was really, really good and has had a good career and was excellent last year, but he has not exactly been lights out this season. Really, anytime he's pitching up against anybody that's not the Yankees, he's been pretty awful. But for some reason, he just has the Yankees number, whether it's in Texas, whether it's here at Yankee Stadium. He absolutely mowed them down with ease. And there was very little resistance from the Yankees, as they had a rare this season, quiet night. They haven't basically gone silent at all this year. They haven't had one of those games where you're like, boy, this, whether it's like, it was the combination. You know, there have been nights where they've been held to not a lot of runs or they've given up a lot of runs, but we haven't seen the combination of it where they gave up a lot of runs. Will Warren, who has been awesome this year, had a rare off night, which I would just chalk up to that. He just had a bad night. And the offense, which has been awesome, and they've been getting contributions basically from everybody. It's led by Rice and Judge, but everybody has been, even Ryan McMahon is hitting and has been producing a lot lately. The offense just couldn't get anything. Eight innings of one-run ball for Nathan Eovaldi, who has not pitched well this year, except when he sees the Yankees. So for whatever reason, he has their number. But overall, there's not much you could say in terms of, hey, look, this team is in trouble or anything like that, because you know the deal. A team that wins 100 games are going to lose 62 of them. So these type of nights happen. You chalk it up. Well, Warren's been excellent. You know, he certainly has held the fort down for guys like Rodon and guys like Cole, who are on their way back very, very soon. And that's really the exciting thing about the Yankees, is that they're going to get these reinforcements back. And they're going to be even better when those guys, and plus the deadline, you're going to add players. So what we've been seeing from the Yankees this first month or so, which has been outstanding as they have set the pace in the American League, and they really, to me, I don't care what the Rays are doing right now, and I know the Rays can be tricky when it comes to the Yankees, and that the Trop is a dump, but it's their dump, the Rays, and they, you know, there's a little magic in there. I still think the Yankees are head and shoulders the best team in the American League, especially when you consider Skubal now is going to miss multiple months. The Tigers are two games under 500. The Mariners have been stuck sort of in neutral all year long. They're two games under 500. In fact, outside of the Yankees and Rays, think about this. The Yankees and Rays are the only two teams in the American League over 500. That's rough. It's rough. Nobody has stepped up besides the Rays as a team that looks like they could even contend at all with the Yankees. And that's why I feel like it's just a head and shoulders type of thing. And the Yanks have been able to take full advantage of that as they're 25-12 on the year. You know, a rough night tonight, but they have had few and far between rough nights where nothing worked. The pitching was bad, the offense was bad, and it was just overall, it was a bad weather night, it was raining, so it was just one of those ugly games. They have a short turnaround in the back. You could hear it here on the Fan later on today. They're back with a very early start time, a 12:35, I believe, first pitch, pregame, postgame, everything here on the Fan, and then I will have you with After Hours following all of that later on tonight at 7 p.m. to midnight, a little 5 hours. We'll do plenty of Knicks, plenty of Mets, plenty of Yankees. Mets also playing a day game as well, as this is the game that was snowed out the other night. They will make it up later on this evening in Colorado. And the Mets are off to an excellent start here in May. There has been no carryover in a bad way since April, which was a rough month, to say the least. Not going to try to sugarcoat that one. It was not a good month by any stretch of the imagination, by any metric. But since the calendar has flipped, since it has become May, this team looks like a different baseball team. They put up 10 runs tonight, Soto in the leadoff spot has been a very nice button pushed by Carlos Mendoza. Carson Benj has been on a roll as of late, not only offensively, but with web gem type catches in the outfield. He has been terrific. He's showing his versatility, not only in the outfield by playing multiple positions out there, but also how skilled he is with the bat in his hands, as he is becoming the player that we all thought he would be. You know, early struggles, I mean, it's April, it's the first month of your career in the big leagues, so that type of stuff happens. But now, slowly but surely, Carson Benj is developing into a player that we, as Met fans, can get excited about. The pitching as a whole, I think, has been really good, especially as of late, and now the rotation is taking shape, where with Senga now basically gone, Peterson perhaps in a new role where you always use an opener and let him piggyback, where he only has to go 3-4 innings, and whether that's Tobias Myers or somebody else is the opener, and let Peterson, you know, whether you want to call it piggyback, tag team, whatever the case may be, or just using an opener. Whatever verbiage you land on, the bottom line is Peterson looked as good as he's looked all year in those few innings against the Rockies earlier this week. So whether it's McLean, whether it's Holmes, whether it's Peralta, whether it's Scott, and whether it's Peterson now in a different type of role, I think you look at this rotation and there's a lot to be excited about. The bullpen is pitching good as well. So the staff as a whole, the pitching rotation included with the bullpen as a whole, has been giving you some nice effort here and some nice innings. And that is a tribute to why they are winning these games. And really, they should be undefeated this month. They let one get away on that Saturday game against the Angels, but still it's tough to argue, tough to complain about a 4-1 start to a month. And it's all about winning series. Look at what the Phillies are doing right now. And yeah, they fired their manager. I see and read about it every day on social media. They're this record since they've hired this guy, where they did this, and now they look at where they're at. They're also an extremely talented team that was underperforming. And whether or not Thompson was there or Mattingly was there, they probably would be 8-2 in their last 10. And those type of things have to have long-term success too. It's weighing the, you know, and I've said this forever here, Steve Cohen is weighing the options, as along with Stearns, of, hey, do we give immediate, you know, gratification to everybody, or do we go with the long-term plan? And the long-term plan being, obviously, Mendoza there, and certainly Stearns as well. One might call it a competitive... Nah, never mind. I won't go there. Hey, it's a great month. It's reason to smile. We can walk around as Met fans right now and smile and laugh. Is that not a good thing? You know how many nights I sat here the first month and it was a therapy session? And now we could sit here and talk about nice things with the Mets? Really nice things. They're playing good baseball. Really good baseball. And they're not going to change what happened in April overnight. They're not. It's just impossible. They have dug a deep hole, but it is a hole they can dig out of because they have time to do it. They have May. They have June. They have July. They have August. And there's been no talk of, well, they're going to sell this player off, if anything. John Heyman came out about, what, a week ago? Maybe even less? And was talking about the Mets potentially looking to add a big bat. Now, the two names that came to mind immediately for me was Christian Walker with the Astros, who is off to an incredible start. He's had a really nice career. He's no stranger to the National League, so you won't think there would be any type of adjustment for him. Really good defensively. Like, he would be an excellent addition to this team in the middle of the order. Has always had a ton of pop. Off to the great start. Veteran. He checks a lot of boxes. And the other guy I thought of was Murakami. Because the White Sox are, I mean, that division sucks. So maybe they're in it. Even though they're 3 under .500, they are right there. They're a game and a half out in the Central. So they may just say, you know what? We're going to try to win the division. But they could trade Murakami. And I know that's, the Mets could have signed Murakami for a song and a dance, but they didn't. So it is what it is. We could sit there and lament on that and talk about that from now to the end of time, along with Nimmo and Alonso, and we could just be stuck in the past instead of the present and the future. I choose to be stuck in the present and certainly look forward to the future. That's where my brain is at. And that's usually where my brain is at, especially when it comes to being positive. Tommy, and looking at my sports teams. So I see a situation here where the Mets could end up adding players here and getting this team rolling, not waving the white flag and giving a lot of people the blood that they're looking for. Because even the bloodthirsty fans, if they start to win more and more and more, everyone will get back on board. Because as a fan, you just, it's one of those things, some fans just want to be put out of their misery. Oh, it's been a bad April. Fire everybody, trade everybody, see you next year. Hopefully they have baseball. I just don't have that mindset. I have the mindset of there's still plenty of time left. There's an opportunity to turn things around. Last year, not 100 years ago, last year, the Guardians, like I gave the example the other day and I got just completely roasted for it of the Nationals when they had the record they had and they won the World Series and everyone's, oh, they had this player, they had that player, they had this player. Okay, fine. It wasn't necessarily comparing rosters. I was just saying they were in a rough situation to start the year and they turned it around. Well, I don't think anybody thought that Cleveland last year was the 20, nobody thought Cleveland was the 27 Yankees last year. They lost 10 games in a row and won the division. That was last year. A team that couldn't hit at all for that 10-game losing streak won their division. Now, obviously, the Braves are off to an excellent start. The Phillies have turned it around. The division is, I'm not talking division at this point, but what I am talking is that you can have the start that the Mets had and you could still salvage the year. It takes time, but look at the Phillies. Forget time, though, in their situation. We were, what, a couple of days ago, it feels like, a week ago, where the Phillies had lost, what, 10 in a row, something like that? And they were in the same conversation, in the same status as the Mets were at that point. And now here we are all these days later. They've won 8 out of their last 10. They're 3 games under 500. And the Mets are 8 games under 500. So if the Mets have a nice week, like they continue to have a nice week like the Phillies had, you wake up in 10 days from now, you get to Memorial Day, you pop a couple beers, you go to the beach, and the Mets are right around 500. Right around Memorial Day. Sound familiar? In fact, they were worse that year if we're really keeping score. But still, that's when they turned it around a couple years ago. This was not a team that was projected to lose 100 games, whether it was by Vegas, who had them at 89.5, whether it was by a plenty of people. Now, those people have all gone into hiding or are crushing the team, but plenty of people thought big things with this team this year, that it would be a 88, 89, 90 win team. I heard not just me talking about winning a division, I heard it from a lot of people. Again, those people have either gone into hiding or have joined the mob and they want to crush the team on social media every which way they can get. Fine. All good. You choose your own path. But the roster and the team that people were excited about and Vegas had at 89.5 wins, yeah, they've got some injuries, but if they could hold the fort down and get those players back, make a big trade maybe for Walker, which I would have probably already done already, but all good. Assuming it is Christian Walker. I'm just looking at teams that are bad and that have power hitters and guys that can play first base. It's going to take time, but it is not insurmountable to turn this around. Far from it. Think about where this team was a week ago. Think about where they're at right now. And that's in 1 week. Now, give it another week. Give it another week. All of a sudden, Memorial Day, end of May, they have a really nice month. And the whole conversation surrounding this team takes a totally different tune. Let's go to Sam in Staten Island. What's up, Sam?
Hey,
what's up? What's going on, bro?
Hey. Just wanted to say, I love the show. What you're doing is great stuff. I think that the Giants should have drafted Caleb Downs.
Kind of random considering that was a few weeks ago. But I hear you. I agree with you. I would have drafted Downs, but it's hard to argue drafting an offensive lineman, especially in the top 10. That's the type of thing championship teams do. You want to have a strong offensive line. You want to run the football, which is Harbaugh's main goal, and you want to protect your young quarterback. So I can't under any circumstances argue against an offensive lineman, especially the best one in the draft. But I think Downs is special. I think he was the best player in the draft, and I would have loved to have seen him on the team, and it made it worse that he went to the Cowboys.
Especially after developing Kyle Hamilton, like John Harbaugh.
Yeah, no, of course. Please, if he's Kyle Hamilton, then the Giants need a guy in that secondary, especially at safety, to be a leader, and they just don't have that, unfortunately, and he was sitting right there for him. But they went, now, part of that, here's the thing. There's two people to blame if this happens. One, you could blame Harbaugh, you could also blame the Jets, because I think if Arvell Reese went to the Jets, the Giants would have taken Downs at five.
You don't think they would have taken Maui Noah at five?
No, I don't think so. I think they wanted to get a stud defensive player. I think they were going to go Downs, or they were going to go Reese at five. I don't think they would have went Bailey.
Not Sonny Styles?
No, I don't think so. I really think they would have went. I know it's crazy to take a safety that early, but I think they love Downs. But once they had the stud, Reese fell into their lap. They took him there, and then they wanted to identify an offensive lineman, and that's what they did.
Their secondary was garbage.
No, it's beyond garbage. They added a Hood in the second round, so they got a corner, and hopefully that means Tay Banks is out of there. But yeah, look, I hear you on Downs, and hopefully he's not awesome like I think he's going to be, and a lot of us think he's going to be because he's going to do it for the Cowboys.
He is great.
Yep.
All right, thank you so much.
No, you got it, Sam. Apparently, that's been on Sam's mind for weeks because he called me about it weeks later. All good. He wanted to get that off his chest. I was talking about this with Connor, who was a producer, Connor Green, who was in Ireland for the last couple of days. He goes, how was the first night of the draft? Because I had the big show, live stream was going on upstairs, and I had the 5 hours, you know, everything going on. Knicks, Hawks, first night of the draft. Mets were playing. Yankees were playing. So it was a very busy night. And I haven't seen him in a while. And he goes, how did that go? I go, how did it go? That felt like that was a month ago. And I'm like, you were in Ireland for 10 days. Maybe Sam was as well. And he just wanted to talk about the draft. All good. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. We'll have plenty to, and I'm so excited for the Giants. Even though I'm annoyed they don't have Downs, I can't argue with the offensive lineman there at 10. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. A few more minutes before we hand it off to Gordon Damer, so I want to hit on a couple of points here. Let me start with Mikal Bridges. When Mikal Bridges was acquired by the Knicks, even before he was acquired by the Knicks, I always thought of him as the final Infinity Stone. I always considered him the missing piece in the puzzle that was the Knicks. I remember the night that he got traded to the Knicks like it was yesterday. It was an electric evening at Citi Field. Met fans, Yankee fans, all chanting, "Let's go Knicks," as they were leaving Citi Field, which doesn't happen, as you know, Met fans and Yankee fans getting on the same page. But for that evening, they were. It was one of those memorable nights in New York. Fast forward to Bridges' run here now with the Knicks. It hasn't lived up to what many of us thought it would be. And all you hear about is all these picks. They gave up all these picks for him. All these picks. How could they do this? But all along, Leon Rose, who has been the architect of this team and has built the Knicks up to where they are now a title contender year in and year out, Rose believed in this player. He believed that Mikal Bridges was the guy that we saw in Phoenix, was the guy that we all saw early in his run with the Nets. And that's why he gave up all those picks. Because he, like myself, believed that Mikal Bridges was the final Infinity Stone. And over the last three games in big spots in the playoffs, Mikal Bridges is finally becoming the final Infinity Stone. Both defensively, he was awesome, awesome tonight. Locking up Maxey, locking up this Philly team that couldn't buy a bucket in the fourth quarter. And he was just a crazy maniac out there on defense. And then offensively, which has been a struggle for him in his Knick career, when you look at the last three games, now what, 17 points, 18 points, 24 points, he is getting it done, Mikal Bridges, on both ends of the floor. He has a lot of critics. He has a lot of detractors. He has a lot of people that won't let it go how many picks were given up for him. But we know why they were given up for him. Because he can be that great two-way player. And the perfect complement, dare I say, final Infinity Stone for the Knicks. And he is ultimately, at this stage, in the last three games, he is realizing that potential. And he is silencing all his critics, all his doubters, all of his naysayers, because he has been absolutely awesome, awesome over the last couple games. And it truly feels like Bridges has turned that corner. and is now a major contributor to this team. And if he's going to be that player, the Knicks will be absolutely unstoppable. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. The other thing I wanted to get into here is Juan Soto. Juan Soto has been moved to the leadoff spot, which you give credit to Mendoza for going with that decision, much like he did with Lindor a couple years ago when he decided in 2024 we're going to put Lindor in the leadoff spot. Lindor took off. The team took off. Putting Juan Soto in the leadoff spot with a team that needed a spark offensively was the correct, proper, and accurate move for Carlos Mendoza. But I want to take it a step further because Juan Soto met the media after tonight's win, 10 runs put up. Soto led the game off with a home run. And Juan Soto, who everybody likes to say is selfish and doesn't care about the team and he's all about money and he's all about himself, Juan Soto said, look, I was all in with this decision. Anything it takes and everything it takes to help the team. So Juan Soto showed selflessness. Juan Soto was team first. Because he could have sat there and said, I'm not batting leadoff. I'm Juan Soto. I'm not batting leadoff. I'm either in the middle of the order, maybe two, but I'm not going to bat leadoff. That's not what I do. That's not what I want to do. I don't care if we're struggling. I'm not going to do that. Because that's the way people want to paint the witch hunt that's out there about Juan Soto that wants to make the guy like he only cares about his money or he only signed with the Mets so that his mom could go to a shopping mall with Steve Cohen's wife, like all these stupid narratives that we hear, and he's this and he's that, because it is a total witch hunt for Juan Soto, when in reality he is a team guy. He's business the way he plays baseball, but that's just his personality. But he was selfless in this situation. He was all in, his words, to be the leadoff hitter of this team, to give them a spark, and he's given it to them so far. I think that says a lot about Juan, and I think it says a lot about his character. I think it says a lot about his leadership. So I credit Mendoza for having the idea, even if he potentially took it from Evan Roberts, who's been saying it for a while. So credit to both of them, if in fact that was the case. And credit to Juan Soto for saying, you know what? Whatever you need, I'm all in. Bat me wherever you want. You want to bat me leadoff? Fine. I'm going to be the best damn leadoff hitter you've ever seen. So a good job there by Mendoza, and an even better job by Juan Soto for stepping up and going all in when his team needs him with Lindor out. Juan Soto is stepping up and accepting a leadoff position, and he's thriving in it. So kudos to him. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. A few more minutes here, and then we're going to hand it off to Gordon Damer. Let's go to Ryan in East Islip. What's up, Ryan?
Logan.
What's up?
How we doing, my boy?
Good.
First of all, I just want to say shout out to Howie Lemon listening in, the boy. But I just want to come around on the whole topic. You know, right in part with what you're speaking about right now. I know Lindor's not coming back for a bit. Do you see Soto as the leadoff batter when Lindor comes back? You know, where everything's been, they're switching up the lineup.
If they're playing well, yes.
He rolled out hot today, and I'm out in Denver right now.
Nice.
And
to see the Mets, or just coincidental?
No. I moved out here. I'm from East Islip, but here working. And
very cool.
I saw Soto put up a picture out in Denver. I'm like, this guy's sharing his location. He's hot. He's gonna do something special. Lead off home run. But so, like, where do you see the lineup when Lindor comes back? What do we do? Benj is obviously getting hot.
Yeah.
They've been tossing the lineup all around. Where do you look at the lineup when he's back in and with all the injuries? What's your ideal lineup when everyone's back?
If Soto and this team are playing well, keep Soto in the leadoff spot. I like the idea of a Soto, Benj, Bichette, Lindor as your top four, with Soto leading off. You can go Benj second, Bichette third, because Bichette's going to start hitting. This idea that he's not going to start hitting, he's going to start hitting, and once he does, he's going to be red hot. You could have Lindor as the cleanup guy. If the team is rolling with Soto batting leadoff, do not change it. Much like they didn't change it in 24. Like that set that the 24 Mets got going when Lindor went to the leadoff spot. Now, Soto was already raking before that, so it's not like he needs it. But if the team needs it overall, and we know they did based on the April they put up, especially offensively. But Benj, if he continues to play like this and hit like this, he is going to move up in the order. How can he not? Bichette is still too good of a bat. Like, you have to have him at the top of the order. And then I think Lindor, who I think his run as the leadoff hitter kind of fizzled out. It kind of reached its peak, and then it was time for a change, which they already did move him, not down, but to the middle of the order. So I like the idea of inserting him back there. And then around those guys, or to kind of fill out the lineup, which is where they're going to be the most productive, is guys like Polanco and Luis Robert Jr. So they are more the fifth hitter, the sixth hitter, the seventh hitter. Like, when you bring in Luis Robert Jr., you're not bringing him here to be the third hitter. That's what he was on the White Sox, and he struggled with that. When he was hot in the beginning of the year, it's because he was batting at the bottom of the order. And there was just less pressure, and there was just less... Not that I don't think he could be a player with pressure, but he is a better served as bottom of the order, your sixth or seventh hitter, in a lineup that has Bichette, that has Soto, that has Lindor, that has Bench, that has Vientos hitting, Alvarez hitting. It's just a totally different thing. When the lineup starts to take shape and be complete, all of a sudden, and everybody has their role, and everybody fits where their role is supposed to be, and they're not out of where the role they're supposed to be, all of a sudden, the plan and vision of what this team was set out to be comes into effect. But it starts with Soto and him taking the leadoff spot and being all in on it for a guy that gets a lot of crap for it, being this, that, and the other, and selfish and all that. He certainly didn't seem it in this situation, as he was all in. The Fan Focus is presented by Chef IQ. Cooking easy is 1, 2, 3. Discover how at chefiq.com. We look forward to a game 3. That will be the Fan Focus for me and my focus here on Friday. And that is Knicks Sixers down in Philadelphia, as the Knicks have a commanding 2-0 lead. Hopefully we get good news on OG Anunoby later on today. And whatever is going on with him, it is something minor, and he is back on the court sooner rather than later. That'll do it for me. My thanks to the callers. My thanks to the listeners. My thanks to Fleegs. My thanks to Connor Green on the other side of the glass. Gordon Damer comes your way next, and I will have you later on this evening, 7 p.m. to midnight. So we will talk to you then on After Hours.
Sports Radio 101.9 FM, the Fan.
What's up? I'm Draymond Green, and when I'm not hosting the Draymond Green Show, I'm usually working out in the gym and on the court. Anybody can have one good day in the gym, but the key is recovery. That's why athletes are taking Omega XL Sport. Omega XL Sport is a premium recovery supplement powered by green-lipped muscle oil extract with 3 key clean ingredients and backed by over 4 decades of research. It's NSF certified for sport, which is such an amazing distinction. It's free of 290 banned substances trusted by athletes and recognized by major sports organizations. My body has taken a beating over the years, and recovery becomes more important the longer you stay active. That's why Omega XL Sport caught my attention. Omega XL Sport helps support your body's natural recovery process, helping reduce post-workout muscle soreness, inflammation, and supports mobility so you can stay consistent when it matters most. Less time feeling beat up, more time doing what you love. Omega XL Sport. Extra strength recovery now available at GNC and GNC.com.
Girl, let's get real. Some pads are just diapers with a good PR team, but not the new Kotex BioCare. That's because Kotex BioCare helps defend against odor and irritants. And it's the first and only pad with this pH proactive system that helps optimize the pad's pH. Just think of it as self-care for down there. Check out Kotex.com for more details on the all-new Kotex, completely redesigned to meet your needs. You asked, we heard.
Nerds.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ever Google a money question and end up 12 tabs deep with 12 different answers? This podcast is your shortcut back to clarity. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast breaks down financial decisions with a team of trusted journalists. They explain the why behind decisions like investing, home buying, and choosing credit cards with clear, research-backed insights. No jargon, no misinformation. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
Your line just went down. Production stopped. A supervisor wants answers. And someone's digging through a binder for the maintenance history. Every one of those minutes costs money. And most of the time, that breakdown could have been prevented. That's where MaintainX comes in. MaintainX catches the failure before it happens. Preventative maintenance plans on every key asset to improve reliability. Work orders assigned and tracked right from your phone. Everyone from the floor to the front office is in the loop. Companies on MaintainX have cut unplanned downtime by over 30% and saved thousands on parts and labor every year. See what MaintainX can do for your operation. Try MaintainX free at MaintainX.com, an Autodesk company.
What if the thing you're listening to right now never got interrupted? What if it could play uninterrupted from room to room on Sonos? What if you start with two Sonos speakers just to see how it feels? What if you really like how it feels and you become a Sonos person who can't stop saying to their friends, "What if you start with two Sonos speakers just to see how it feels?" Because it's not magic, but it's not not magic.